Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio. Preds with a 5-2 win against the St. Louis Blues on Saturday. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, TD?
Hey, I'm doing really well, man. It's good to talk some shop with you, Alex, for sure.
That's right.
So, Alex, obviously, you know, the team gets embarrassed on Thursday at home against Dallas, 9-2, and TD and I were talking about that earlier. I mean, that was about as rough as it gets for the Predators on Thursday against the Stars. They respond on Saturday, get the win on the road against St. Louis. So, I guess heading into this week where you got a bunch of tough games on the road and you're 2 points out of a playoff spot right now, what do you make of kind of the trajectory of the way that they've been playing, and how big do you think that win Saturday can be for them as they head into a week of really tough tests on the road here coming up?
Well, I probably, like some people, I had a feeling this was going to happen, right? Like, I knew that after last week, I just had a feeling that they were going to go on the road and find a way to get a win against St. Louis. Because it just feels like that's how this team has done. That's what this team has done all year. They've had, you know, two bad losses and then followed it up with a good win. Or they've had, a loss and a win, a loss and a win. That's just been how this team has gone all year. So my answer to your question is I don't think it really affects much at all, because I just don't think that this team is built to compete over the long haul for the whole season. I mean, look, there was a nice run there in November and December where they were winning a bunch of games and everything, all the vibes were good. But I think we just, you know, like you and I have talked about, Robbie, this team just doesn't really have the horses, right? It's just not a team that's built to succeed in the long run. They're going to win a couple games here and there. They're going to lose some. And then, you know, they might make it at the very end. You know, they could squeeze into the playoffs. But the way this team is constructed is just not in the cards, I don't think.
Yeah, that's a question that I want to ask you, because with the trade deadline, you know, less than a month away, is this a team that you think should be selling? And if so, is Alexandre Carrier, is he one of the guys that you think they should move?
I do think they need to sell. Carrier's name has come up recently. I think the problem is they've got a lot of guys that they could move. It's just kind of tricky to figure out, like, you know, where could they possibly go, and also what kind of value do they have? Alex Carrier might be one of the better ones that has value. I mean, him or Fabbro would probably bring the biggest return out of the UFAs that they have. I mean, the UFAs they have are not, like, they're not names that really impress a lot of people. I mean, Jakob Trenin, Keeper Sherwood. Of course, Novak is probably the best forward, but, you know, he's had a strange year. Gurionov is another one. But Alex Carrier as a UFA is probably the one that could bring the biggest return. But we're not talking about a huge haul for Alex Carrier. I mean, like, he's a UFA, so it's not like they're getting anything. It's just a rental, a depth defenseman rental. I mean, what, like, fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick? I mean, we're not getting a lot out of Alex Carrier. So and that's kind of what I mean. Like, this team is not really in a great position to either build for the future or compete this year right now. So, you know, I think that's why people are looking at the big moves, like the UC Saros move is a big one people are focusing on. And I just don't see that happening in season either. I mean, like, that's a big one too. But Carrier, I think he could definitely be moved, but if people are expecting some big haul for Alex Carrier, I'd be prepared to be disappointed.
So, Alex, to that point, I mean, I agree with you. I think they should sell. I don't know that Barry Trotz has totally made that decision yet, but I think when you get beat the way that they got beat at home in the New Jersey game and then certainly the Dallas game last week, it has to get the wheels turning at least a little bit there. So is there anything, you know, barring like a six-game run here where they just roll off wins left and right, is there anything you think this team can still do that convinces Barry Trotz not only to not sell, but to become maybe a small buyer at the deadline? Or do you think, regardless of what happens from here until March 8th, that Barry Trotz is going to have the idea of selling in the back of his mind?
Yeah, I just cannot see it. I cannot see them being buyers. I mean, look, this is that was kind of the David Poyle. I think we're kind of maybe conditioned to the David Poyle way of things, right? Like where that was how many years in a row did that happen with David Poyle, where it was like they would go on a little run, UC Soros would get hot, and then he'd be like, okay, well we're gonna buy and we're gonna go get a couple pieces here, and people were just like, it really did not. We're not all about that. I think that Barry Trotz, we don't know exactly how he's going to handle this, but I just get the impression he's going to handle it a little differently. I mean, we all saw the reports about the recent travel change plans from Trotz. I think definitely he's willing to try anything. I mean, like that guy definitely does not want to sit back and just let it all happen. So I don't know, maybe, but I really can't see it. I cannot see him being a buyer, regardless of how this next couple weeks goes.
You mentioned it. What do you make of these change in travel plans? What do you make of that?
I thought that was probably one of the most hilarious things that I've ever seen a GM do. I mean, like, so there was kind of a rumor going around that like some plans have been changed at practice on Friday. I was trying to talk around and figure out exactly what had happened and confirmed that like the plans were, I was able to confirm that the plans were changed, but not who changed them or why. And it was kind of a strange feeling because Friday's practice was a doozy. I mean, they were skating like crazy.
That'll happen when you get beat 9-2.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not surprised, but yeah, definitely. That's what happened. And Brunette after the game was like, you know, like if you get a spanking as a kid and the dad comes and says, like, that hurt me more than it hurt you, son. that's the impression I got from Brunette. He was like, I didn't want to do that either, but we had to do it. And so I think that Barry Trotz, deciding to cancel the U2 trip to the Sphere, I think is like similar. It's like, I'm going to turn this plane around unless you act right. You know, this is the new age of Barry Trotz as the GM. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it makes perfect sense to say we're gonna take the hockey part of this seriously. And that was the impression I got from Brunette, all week, that he did not think his team was taking the game itself as seriously as everything else.
Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio with us. So Alex, to that point, I think the Predators deserve full credit for the way that they came out on Saturday and responded and getting that win on the road in St. Louis. A St. Louis team has played really well. I think that's a really good response from them after what we saw last week. Now, having said that, this team's been all over the map, as you pointed out, and they've had multiple performances this year where they've either just come out flat and gotten run out of the building in the first period, or a couple lately where they've just been brutal from start to finish. And I do wonder, the offseason, Duchesne's out, Johansson's out, and they bring in O'Reilly, they bring in Luke Shen. Barry Trotz has spoken glowingly about Ryan McDonagh while he's been here and all those things. And a lot of the talking point was like the serial winners and the culture pieces, right? And to have Andrew Brunette talk about the approach and be as frank as he's been after some of these games is a little bit surprising to me that that's been the case with this group, given that the emphasis was supposed to be kind of setting that culture piece, right? So what do you make of kind of those two different things of bringing in a lot of guys who have won a lot of hockey games before and have been a part of those winning environments, and how do you explain having that and having some of the absolute duds in approach that it feels like they've had so far this year?
Yeah, that has been very surprising. I think that's probably what Trotz and Brunette are dealing with right now as the guys in charge, because they're like, why is this not working like we thought it was? Because these are the guys we brought in to not have this happen. And Brunette said as much after the game on Thursday, I guess after the 9-2 loss, when asked about if he's disappointed in the leadership, the captains, and letting this kind of thing happen. And he said, it's disappointing, and he's tired of having to keep going back to it. And at some point, the message is not getting through. Yeah, I think they're probably frustrated with that. I think the only thing I would point to is the veterans that he got, other than O'Reilly, are not the kind of guys that are like the biggest difference makers on the ice. Now, you know, like Luke Shen, I mean, he had that big hit on Liam O'Brien that got everyone crazy, but I mean, he's just not, he's not the kind of guy that is going to take over a game, right? He's not, he's not that difference maker. Same thing with Gustav Nyquist. Yeah, and other players he got, it's just they're not, they didn't transform the game on the ice either. I mean, they transformed the locker room, sure, but that they didn't do a lot to make the team, you know, faster or more skilled or anything. So I think that's a problem. You know, the team has been in shambles kind of since January 1. Like, there's a lot of problems. The special teams have gone in the tank, and power play and penalty kill are both in the, you know, bad. So they're having to fix that at the same time. They just have a lot of things going poorly right now. The continued struggles of UC Soros is just baffling to figure out why. So there's just a lot of things. I think they're probably the most frustrated about is the leadership not preventing things like that from happening.
You mentioned the leadership. You mentioned all of these problems and all of these issues. It's pretty clear, like, this year you could kind of put a bow around it. It's put a fork in it. It's done. But what direction does this organization go after this year? What hope do What hope do Predators fans have, you know, with everything that's going on?
Well, I actually, you mentioned Titans. Okay, so like the Titans made all these huge changes, right? They already did the coaching change, and they've basically turned over their whole staff. Well, the Predators have already done that, right? They've already made that move. They can't do that again. So, at least I don't think. I think that they just have to slowly start to work in some of the talent that they like down in Milwaukee. Some of the top prospects that they've drafted the last couple of years need to start contributing. I think that you're going to see some turnover. I mean, the UFAs I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of guys on this team that probably aren't going to be here next year. I'm just going to say a guy like Jakob Trenin. Good guy, 27 years old. He's a great, he's good defensively, but like that's a guy that I just don't see being a part of Brunette's team moving forward. It's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be a lot of guys that are just like have been good pieces, you know, some depth guys here and there, but that Brunette is just going to say, look, this guy's not my guy, and I'm going to move on. And it's going to continue to be his team. I think his style, his offense, and everything is going to continue to take the lead in how he decides to build this roster. But yeah, you're going to see some turnover. Roster turnover, I think, is the biggest thing. I think it's all about the players at this point. The players are not producing. I don't think you can make any leadership or like staff changes at this point to make a difference. You got to start changing the room up.
Alex, last thing for you here. So Jordan Bennington gets fined for high sticking Luke Evangelista in the face. And you were pointing that out on Twitter. And it seems like you've become public enemy number one in the city of St. Louis. How's that feel?
Yeah, I feel like I've talked to everyone in the rural Missouri area about Jordan Bennington now. Basically, everyone thinks that I've never watched hockey before. I have no idea who the St. Louis Blues are. I also haven't won any Stanley Cups personally, so that makes a big difference. I just simply putting a little clip out there. Jordan Bennington obviously high sticking Luke Evangelista, which he got fined for by the league. So it's not like that was crazy here.
There is that.
Yeah, St. Louis is not a big fan of me right now. That's for sure.
Well, Alex, great stuff. We are big fans of you here on the program. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Y'all take it easy.
Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your reaction to the Preds. They get the win on Saturday in St. Louis. What does that mean for this week as they have Vegas tomorrow, L.A. later this week, some tough ones coming up on the road? And how do you view the NHL trade deadline part of this? Is Barry Trotz's mind already made up? Should it already be made up? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Terod Davenport, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Appreciate Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio for being with us in the last segment. The Preds get a big win over the weekend against St. Louis, 5-2. So a nice response for them after they got their butts kicked on Thursday against the Stars. Still sets up basically in the same spot they've been for the past couple of weeks, which is right there on the playoff bubble. They're 2 points back of St. Louis in the wild card race. And now this week is a big week. You look at the schedule, they're going to be on the road all week. They got Vegas coming up tomorrow, which Vegas is obviously. A very tough place to go play and to go win. Those guys are the defending cup champions. L.A. after that on Thursday, who has fired their coach and is playing better now that they've fired their coach. They're ahead of the Predators in the standings as well. And then a back-to-back this weekend against two of the worst teams in the league in San Jose and Anaheim. So, like, if to me, TD, if you're going to stay in the playoff race, the games at the end of the week are non-negotiable. Like, you got to find a way to win against St. Louis, or against San Jose and Anaheim. Like, you can't be dropping games to teams that you have no business losing to at this point. Vegas and L.A., a little bit of a different story. That's going to be a really tough challenge. And speaking of Vegas, so if you missed it, Elliot Friedman over the weekend reporting on Hockey Night in Canada that apparently the Predators had a trip scheduled to go see U2 in concert at the Sphere. And I guess they're going to end up there yesterday. So they're in St. Louis. My guess is they're going to fly out to Vegas and go see the concert before getting prepared for Vegas this week. And with the way that they played last week, apparently that trip just got canceled. And Alex Doherty talked about it in the last segment of, like, there was some scuttlebutt that the travel plans were getting switched up a little bit on Friday at practice. And apparently Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz basically looked at the Predators and said, you know what? You're grounded. We're not going to see U2. we're not doing that at the Sphere. What do you think of that? Yeah. I don't know that I can recall that happening before.
I would imagine if that were the case, if that was a decision that they made, I would imagine that decision was made after the 9-2 loss. Where it's like, you know what?
Probably so.
It's one of the ones where, you know, like an old man, they get frustrated. They do this one like, that's it. Yeah. So I think that might have been what happened there. And then they bounced back and they had to win against the Blues. And it was like, okay. But you still aren't going. I think that's probably the case.
Yeah, it's a very Barry Trotz thing to do from the standpoint of, like, Barry Trotz has got a lot of the old school, no nonsense way of doing things. And look, he's been beloved by players everywhere he's been, whether he was coaching here in Washington or in New York. But he is also a guy, like, if things aren't going well and you're not putting in the effort or doing the things that you need to be doing, he's not afraid to call you out, whether that's in the team, in the media, whatever it is. And it is like that approach has been honestly kind of refreshing this year between Brunette and Trotz, of like just the willingness to call your players out and to kind of change things up that way. And it's clear, like, and you could take this to really any sport. Like when you're coming into a team and you're trying to revamp whatever culture was there. And I'm interested to see how this goes with Callahan and the Titans too, like taking over for Vrabel. Not that I think Vrabel was like some unmitigated disaster there, but like when you're coming in trying to establish like your own way of doing things and your own work environment of the expectations that you have, sometimes coming in and laying down the law is the only way to get people's attention. Yeah. And that's apparently what Barry Trotz is doing.
Yeah, sometimes you have to drop that hammer and just let them know from the jump, I'm nothing to be played with. And I think that's, you know, what you're seeing. It just, you know, this organization is just, it's kind of like caught in no man's land. It's, okay, yeah, you make the playoffs. All right, that's great, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, well, you don't make the playoffs. Okay, well, you have a lot of issues to fix. So it's just, it would be tough to be a fan of this team right now because it just, the direction just seems to be just like wandering in a forest somewhere. That's the problem.
It kind of feels like you've been there for a while too, right?
Yes.
And the question is, like, how do you get out of it? And, I thought Jared did a pretty good job of laying this out the other day, and I mostly agree with what he was saying in terms of, like, you have players on your team that are good enough to where you're not going to be terrible, right? Like, you're not going to be picking in the top five and having a chance to, you know, in last year's case in the draft one of these generational guys. You're also, like, you don't have enough good players where you can, even if you make the playoffs, seriously challenge to compete and win a cup. So, like, it's a really tough place to be because you're not bad enough to get, like, those franchise-changing, game-breaking players to accelerate the rebuild, and you're not good enough to where you can, like, maximize your Forsbergs and your Yossis and your Saroses and, like, guys that you have available to you right now. So That's the challenge for Trotz, is like, how do you dig your way out of that? Like, so, what do you do to dig your way out of that?
Well, let me ask you, do you blow it up? Do you trade Saros? And
I would. Really? I would trade him.
So you and blow everything up?
I would blow it up to the extent that you can. I think they started to do it last year, right? Like, they moved out Ekholm and Granlund, and they got some big cap numbers off their books, which is good. And they've got some cap space heading into this summer. I agree with Alex, though, from the standpoint of even some of your younger guys, guys that fans would probably look at and say, okay, well, we'll see what they look like in here in a couple years. I think there are some of those guys that won't be here next year. Like, I think Barry Trotz is going to want to bring in more of his people. Like, a lot of these guys that we're talking about right now, I mean, not a lot of them, like all of them, when you're talking about the young guys, he didn't draft any of them. Like, they're not his guys. So I think part of this year is evaluating, okay, who are guys that I feel good about moving forward with in the future, and who are guys, even if they are 23, 24, 25 years old, that we got to get out here and move away from. Like, I think especially in a league like the NHL, TD, where there's a hard cap and it's not as maneuverable as it is in the NFL.
Right.
When you get yourself out of cap trouble, you got to be really careful after that about who you give your next contracts to. Like, you got to be really selective with, all right, I feel great about this guy giving him a 4-year deal and this guy giving him an 8-year deal. And you're not going to hit on all the contracts. There are going to be some that you sign that you regret signing like the moment after you do it. And that's the name of the game in the NHL.
Yeah.
But I think you got to be really selective, especially in a league that's got a hard cap, of who you're giving these next deals to. And I think you are going to see Barry Trotz change the roster over. And I will say, I know Alex said that he didn't think it's going to happen, and I would probably lean it not happening before the deadline, maybe something you revisit in the summer. But if I was Trotz, I'd look at moving Saros right now.
All right, so let me ask, and I agree with you there. But let me ask you this, because like, you have Rand Carthon, who is in the job for, you know, 11 months,
yep,
and people are calling for him to be fired.
Yep.
Right? If Barry Trotz, if he does this, blows it up, like, how much time do you think he has to orchestrate his plan?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think, number one, the Predators ownership group is unbelievably patient, which is why when you look at the history of their franchise, they've had, at this point, 4 head coaches and 2 general managers over a 25-year period. Mm-hmm. You don't find that a whole lot in professional sports. So I think he's going to have some time to restructure this thing. I think if you're a Predators fan, this is why some of the reaction this week, and it reminds me a little bit of the Rand Carthon thing, like people ready to run him out of town already. Like, after the 9-2 game, I had people in my mentions all over the place talking about firing Andrew Burnett. And I'm like, guys, he's been the coach for half a season. Can we get past half a season before we start doing some of this stuff? Like, I think if you're a Predators fan, and I talked about this on Friday, everybody wanted to blame everything that went wrong on the Predators the last couple of years on the last coach. And I've tried to tell people for years, it's not that simple. Was it time to move on from John Hines? Yes. Was it time to go find a new head coach and a new way of doing things? Yes. But this roster has been in rough shape and on the decline for a while. And I think it's going to be a 2-3 year fix if you do it right, unless there's some gigantic trade opportunity that just opens up for you. Huh. If you do it right, it's probably going to be a 2-3 year fix before they're back to being clearly on the path where they can compete for a title again. And I think people got to accept that if you're a Predators fan. Hey, it's hard to do.
You know, patience. Sometimes it will pay off, but I mean, you got to have it.
Coming up next, there is a pretty intriguing situation regarding a high-level wide receiver in the NFL that could really influence the way the receiver market goes this offseason. I want to get TD's thoughts on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport, Nick Keyser are here with you on this Monday morning. I don't know if there's a combo between you and Rex Road of bigger Wu-Tang fans anywhere in America than there is on this program right here.
Absolutely, man. I'm a Wu warrior, man. I tell you what, my poor girl, man. I feel so bad for her. So we had a getaway. We stuck to Atlanta this weekend, right? Coming back, I played nothing but Wu. She had to listen to the whole Old Dirty album.
4.5 hours.
She had to listen to Raekwon, the Jizza. inspect the deck. Like, I know she was sick of me, but, you know.
Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
She dealt with it, man. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. I respect it. I think we need a little bit more, Nick. Just keep it coming on
little
the show.
More. Let it roll. Let just, it roll. Just
keep but it coming
you,
on the show.
You got to be careful with the woo, though, because, you know, every once in a while, a little bit of that colorful language comes
you
out.
Do. You have to keep
we have to head
on a swivel.
PC friendly here.
That's right. There's no question about it. So, TD, we talked about the wide receiver plan for the Titans earlier and the different options that are out there and available to them this offseason. And one name that is going to be intriguing to see what happens here is Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco. Now, you know, after the Super Bowl, you know, Ayuk had three catches in the Super Bowl, obviously a heartbreaking loss for the Niners. And you had, you know, members of his family and, like, his girlfriend putting up, you know, those cryptic messages on Instagram about, well, that's why he's going to be out of here. We're hitting the road, basically indicating that a trade is coming, which, God bless our world in 2024, that continues to be a thing. He was asked about it in their kind of end-of-season press conferences, and, he said all the right things about wanting to be in San Francisco. He's under his fifth-year option heading into next year. I would assume if you're him, though, you're looking at the work that you've put in, the production that you've had, and you want a long-term deal. You're 4 years into this. You're a guy that for the last 2 years has been over 1,000 yards, over 70 catches, 8 touchdowns 2 years ago, 7 touchdowns this past season. So pretty darn consistent, pretty darn good for San Francisco these past 2 years. And if it does get to the point with him where he either wants to move on or forces a trade, whatever it looks like, and they decide that Brandon Ayuk is not somebody they want to commit money to long-term, then I would imagine there are going to be quite a bit of suitors interested in him. And obviously a natural connection here with Rand Carthon, his history with that organization, and obviously he would know Brandon Ayuk very well. So, number one, what do you think of that situation as a whole in San Francisco? How do you think it ends up playing out? And number two, should he become available, how much consideration are you giving that if you're the Tennessee Titans to throw your name in the hat to bring in Brandon Ayuk?
I think the situation there in San Francisco is very interesting because here you have a guy, Brandon Ayuk quietly is capable of being a number one receiver in this league. You look at the routes that he runs, it's right there. You look at even, well, it's a different regime now, but if this was Mike Vrabel and the crew, they would love him too because he blocks
he
down
does.
The field. So you have that. I just think the vertical aspect as well, like everything you want in a receiver he brings outside of being 6'3", 200 and something pounds, but he still does it with his smaller frame. So when you look at this situation, he is a small cog in a big piece as far as a big program when you look at the offense. You got Kittle, you got Deebo Samuel, you got Christian McCaffrey, an emerging player in Juwan Jennings. How will he be able to ascend to the level that he wants to in that offense? I don't know that he would be able to, but then in addition to that, you have the financial aspect of it, right?
Right.
Because you have Deebo Samuel, who is a very well-paid receiver. Brock Purdy, eventually, you're going to have to face the facts with him. Two more years.
Two more.
Right? Yep. Before you have to work that situation out. And he's going to get paid. And he deserves it, right? Brock Purdy.
He's a good player.
Say what you want. Yeah. He's a good player. Yeah. I once called him a cute story, right?
Yeah.
I said it's a cute story. It's made for Disney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Disney can make money off of it. But the fact of the matter is he's a good player. So you have that. I don't know that this 49ers team is going to be able to pay him that big contract after this fifth-year option, which has him at, what, $14 million?
In that neighborhood, yeah.
I trade for that in a heartbeat. And then you look at signing him. The thing is, what type of contract is he going to command?
Right.
You know what I mean? And if I'm a team that's going to actually acquire him, I would want to sign him to a deal immediately because I want to get in front of the Justin Jefferson.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying Ayuk is on that level because he's not.
But it resets the market.
Exactly. Jamar Chase is going to want his money soon. Expect T. Higgins. I want to get ahead of that. So – I would make the trade if I'm the Titans. I would absolutely make it, and he would come in and be the number one, 1A with DeAndre Hopkins, and then, you know, D-Hop moves on. You got Burks, whoever you draft. Now you're cooking.
He's a really interesting player to me because, like you said, the production is unquestionably there, right? I mean, 75 catches this year, 1,300 yards, 7 touchdowns. He averaged almost 18 a catch this year, which is a ridiculous number. So the production is there.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting because I've heard, you know, people talking about this even in San Francisco, the idea of paying him the long-term contract. And the blowback is, well, how important is he really to what they do in terms of, like, would you take Debo over him? Is George Kittle more important than him? Is Christian McCaffrey more important than him? So if he gets away from that situation and he comes here or elsewhere and is unquestionably the number one guy, what does he look like as the unquestioned number one receiver that everybody on the other side of things defensively is paying attention to? And I don't know what the answer is. My guess is he'd do a pretty darn good job. I mean, you just don't end up with 114 targets and 78 catches, or this year 105 targets, 75 catches. That doesn't just happen. Like, you gotta work to be able to do that. So it is interesting, though, like, if he goes elsewhere and he's going to be the focal point that other teams focus in on, what does that do? How does he handle that as a number one guy in the league?
He consistently beats man coverage.
He does.
I like – that's what you want out of your number one, right? You want to have somebody to do that. But the thing that you kind of have a luxury here with the Titans is if you trade for him, you bring him in, year one, as he's getting his legs up under him, you know, his feet, whatever, you have Hopkins there. You're only going to double Ayuk so much before Hopkins starts saying,
exactly,
like, hey – I'm a problem too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that's a luxury there. And then you roll into the following year with however it works. It's a trade that I would absolutely – and I actually went on a rant on talking with TD last week about this because I really felt it was something that they should do. I will throw this in there, though.
Okay.
You got Calvin Ridley. Obviously 4 years older than Ayuk, but 76 receptions, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns last year. You don't have to trade for him. You sign him, do you do that?
So, and I think also he would be cheaper, right? Like, Calvin Ridley would certainly be cheaper. Now, the question with him, too, is, and I know last year he ended up playing in all 17 games. So there was the question heading into it, coming off, obviously, the suspension. But even before the suspension, the injury concerns with Calvin Ridley. He played in all 17 games last year, 76 catches, over 1,000 yards. I think I would probably still go the Ayuk route because I feel like I like the age difference first off, and I love the production that's been displayed consistently. So I would still probably lean Ayuk, but you wouldn't have to give up the draft capital in order to get him. So that is worth considering if you're the Titans.
I agree with you. Ayuk is the better option. That's the next question. What do you have to give up
exactly
if you trade for Ayuk? That's exactly the big question.
Well, I mean, I would assume – wouldn't a first rounder have to be involved somewhere?
Maybe. You're not giving up 7 overall.
No, you're definitely not giving up 7.
hang the phone up immediately.
Could you talk them into a 2025 first rounder?
Possibly. I mean, if you could go
2025. Do you think it would cost a first rounder to get him?
It's tough. But, I mean, you look at what Tyreek Hill, that haul, you know, was a major haul. Ayuk isn't Hill, though.
Right.
I think that's the question. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I wonder if this year's second and next year's first, or this year's second and next year's second. Like, if you could package something up.
If it was, let's say it was that, this year's second and next year's second, which is a huge price, would you do that if you're Rand Carthon? It's a heavy price.
This year's second is pick 38 overall.
I know.
I'm not doing it. I'll do. Listen, this is what I would do. I'll go this year's second and next year's fourth.
Okay.
I mean, that's 38 overall. Fourth round pick, I will see what it is, but I'll do that.
I would do that too. We talked about changing the offense up and getting weapons around Levis and seeing what he's got. I mean, this changes immediately, right?
Immediately.
Like, if you've got Hopkins, you bring in Ayuk, and you take your first-round pick 7 overall, and let's say you end up with Joe Alt. Like, just think about the difference that makes already with those three guys. Hopkins staying here, obviously, and then Ayuk and Ault added to the offense. I mean, you're talking about a totally different thing offensively for the Titans at that point.
Yeah, about that, because you know,
be fun to watch.
It'd be fun to watch for sure.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, a combo rant, a Rob rant, and a TD rant together. We got a lot of ground to cover. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hello, here we go. Let's go.
With the kid with the train.
It's that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. A combo rant today. A Robbie Stanley, Teron Davenport rant. Very much looking forward to this one. Nick was in there giggling, putting together this montage, so I guess he thought that Rex Road bit was funny there.
Plenty of Joe Rex Road rants.
There's a lot to choose from.
No Scott Stapp ones this morning.
We'll have to save it for another time. So, TD, I'm watching the dunk contest kind of on and off. So it's NBA All-Star Weekend, and we talked about the game itself. The Eastern Conference scored 211 points in a game last night, so not a lot of defense being played out there. And the dunk contest, you know, it used to be, I think, one of the highlights of the NBA season,
you know?
I mean, you had Michael Jordan, you had all kinds of people. I mean, Dominique Wilkins going back in the day. I mean, it used to be the thing. And now you've got – and look, no disrespect to Mac McClung, who has now won it for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
He's not even in the league. He's a G leaguer.
Right.
But he ends up in the dunk contest somehow. And look, it's interesting, TD, because I view this a couple different ways. Number one, I hate that like none of the star players really do it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't see LeBron's never done a dunk contest. I mean, it's not like your big stars in today's game really want to do it. And I understand to some degree why they won't do it. And that brings me to point number two, is because I think part of the reason why the dunk contest doesn't really do it for me anymore is we've seen everything, right? Like, we've seen, like, every conceivable type of dunk, for the most part, we've seen to this point. And that's what they'll tell you, too, is like, well, I don't know that I could come up with anything that somebody else hasn't already done, and I don't want to go out there and embarrass myself. So that's kind of the excuse that the star players give as to why they don't want to be in the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make – I was watching it over the weekend with guys out there who, like, I've never heard of before.
That's the problem.
And it did make me think back to, you know, Jordan and Wilkins and just the star power, Vince Carter back in the day. I mean, some of the great dunk contests that we've seen. And it just feels like those days are gone in the NBA.
And even in those old days where it was guys who weren't the top players – Kenny Skywalker, you know, was doing crazy dunks. Harold Miner, Baby Jordan, was doing crazy dunks. It had appeal.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest with you, the dunk contest is second fiddle to the three-point shooting contest. And it's crazy to say that because I remember, man, and I was telling my girl this weekend because I literally turned it off. She's like, you're not watching? No, I ain't watching that foolishness. You know what I mean? I turned it off. And I'm like, this is nothing like it used to be. It used to be Saturday. You had to see this. Yeah, you know, it was cool to watch Larry Bird shoot everybody's eyes out. He and Dale Ellis go at it, you know. But you wanted to see Neek, Jordan, Larry Nance, like those guys. You wanted to see them in the – Sean Kemp.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's just like there's no star power to it. And like you said, like you got guys in the G League. Like, come on, man. No.
Yeah, not even NBA players. And, like, even recently, like, Blake Griffin was in the dunk contest. And, you know, Blake Griffin was a star player back in the day. Like, it just feels like no star players now even
want
to entertain
it. They
don't want any part of it. And I don't know how you fix it. Like, it's not like if you're Adam Silver that you can, like, mandate LeBron James go participate in the dunk contest.
Yeah.
But it's just sad that it feels like one of the great parts of – what people have looked forward to on All-Star Weekend. Like, we talk about All-Star Weekend, and we've had this conversation before on the show, but from the NBA to the Pro Bowl to the NHL, like, All-Star Weekends in sports, to me, unless you're there, like it's one thing, like, when they had the NHL All-Star Weekend here, it was a fun time. Like, it's fun if your city's hosting it, and particularly if you're a fan that's never been to one before, like, it's a fun weekend. Like the viewing experience of all these games right now, watching them, is just terrible. Yeah. Like there's nothing really to look forward to.
It's
sad.
Nothing. You're right about that. There really isn't anything to look forward to, and it's a shame because it used to. I remember back in the day, man. Like going back, and it was all those Lakers teams with Worthy and Jabbar and Magic, and you had Tom Chambers. From Phoenix on the team, and then, you know, it was Jordan and Pat Ewing and Neek and Dr. J. Like, that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, you see this nonsense. You just like, man, I watched it just out of respect for watching it, knowing, like, we were going to do this show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to watch it otherwise.
Well, and, like, moving forward here, like, as some of these guys – grow up and get older. Like, I would love to see Zion Williamson in a dunk contest. Like, I would love it. I think it would be awesome. Now, is he ever going to do it? Is, you know, the injury risk that's there with it too, especially with him that gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Like, are you ever going to see, like, guys like that do it? Probably not. So, like, honestly, like, at this point, and they're not going to do this, but if this is going to be what it is, where you've got players that aren't even in the NBA competing in the dunk contest, like, I just say get rid of it, but I know they're not going to do that. Yeah, but like, there's no appeal to it for me.
Yeah, it's they better get like N1 back in the day, right? Yeah. And just go find some dunkers, do something, because it's definitely not appealing to me at all.
I saw that this weekend, and I think I watched it for about 2 minutes and said, you know what? I just don't think I can do this.
Yeah,
I don't think I can do it anymore. I will say the 3-point shootout was pretty cool.
Yeah,
with Steph Curry this weekend Sabrina like in there. It was really. I think that was a nice kind of change of pace. Yeah. I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Steph versus Sabrina was cool. Dame boy,
man,
that dude was. He got hot.
He's legit.
I always loved the 3-point contest. I like the dunk contest more. You know, back in the day, but. At least you still get the star power in the 3-point. You know what I mean? You got Jalen Brunson in there. You got Trae Young, Dame. I mean, it was a nice cast of characters out there shooting. And then you get the whole separate Steph versus Sabrina. That was fun, too. I'm with you on that.
I'm just proud of you. I mean, you made the drive back from Atlanta yesterday, which I've made that drive many times. It's a frustrating drive to me. And your rant didn't immediately go to traffic.
Well, it's just because we got to talk a little sports. You know what I mean? But, yeah, now that you created the segue, listen here, man. I am sick and tired of the rubbernecking. Right? Like, why is it that a vehicle pulled over on the side of the road? Why is that a magnet for attention?
I don't know.
I just, for the life of me, I don't get it. Like, unless it's like a crazy mashup.
Yeah.
Like, why are you even look? And I don't even want to look at a mashup because I don't want to see something that I'm going to think about at night. You know what I mean?
No.
Just keep your eyes on the prize. And that's what's in front of you. I do not understand. And it's a little bit heavier here in Nashville.
It than is.
Other places I've been. I tell you, and the accidents are more abundant here. In Philly, like, I didn't really see accidents like that. You'll see them, but it'd be a bang up and you keep it moving.
Yeah.
Here, it's like one a day.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's
constant
crazy
peering over, huh? What's going on over there? Let me slam on the brakes so I can take a look at it.
Right. Yeah. And like, in the mornings, When I'm on daddy Uber duty, when I have my girls and I have to take – so one, they go to two separate high schools, right? And so I drive right by here and I wave to you guys and keep it going. And then go to one high school, go to the other, and then coming back. And it's just – the way people drive just amazes me. I just, for the life of me, cannot figure out why people have to look at a car accident, or even a car on the side of the road.
It's driven me nuts for years.
Just keep it moving.
Just keep it going. It's a public service announcement.
Yes.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A nice combo rant between myself and TD. Let's do that one again. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. I feel better now.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta get something off my chest.
A little therapy. Coming up next.
Go ahead.
We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. I'm interested to get his thoughts on the Brandon Ayuk part of this, too. We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.